Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, welcome to season seven.
Welcome to season seven.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. We both are wearing the same outfits and have different haircuts than last season.
Yeah, that's actually the first thing that I noted on here.
I may have slimmed down a bit.
I have. I lost a pound.
Yeah, me too, I think.
Yeah, I hate that I'm cognizant of that sort of thing, but at a certain point you gotta be, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not necessarily weight, but like exercise and diet, I guess. I guess I shouldn't spend so much time thinking about my weight.
Yeah, you eat fairly healthy for the most part. And that's what they say is like an 80-20 balanced diet of like 80% like good healthy stuff and 20% of like fun stuff that makes you happy. And I feel like you do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've changed my diet considerably since...
Why is that?
Since January 1st.
Is it because you're a healthy boy?
Yeah, it's because I'm a healthy boy now. But I haven't... I don't know, I guess, like, I haven't seen... And I also exercise more in different kinds of exercises. And I haven't seen the kind of results I think I wanted to. So I have been kind of, like, depressed about that.
Yeah, it gets harder as we get older.
Yeah, I'm in my 40s now. You know, I used to be able to, like, get trim on a short timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is not a podcast about our reducing diets.
Yeah. That would be... Very boring.
I watch old movies sometimes, so sometimes I get phrases like reducing diet.
Yeah.
No, this is a podcast about the shows Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We are on season seven, but we've been watching for six seasons. If you're just joining us, welcome to season seven. For six seasons, we've been watching every episode of both shows. One episode of each per week. We recap, compare, contrast. We have other fun segments and stuff. So yeah, like I said, we're on to episode 7, season 1 of both shows. Episode 7, season 1 of Friends is called The One with Monica's Thunder. And season 7, episode 1 of How I Met Your Mother is called The Best Man. We're going to put a pin in The Best Man.
Ow!
That was your, like, bro, like, dude voice?
Yeah.
Oh!
Cleveland bro.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude.
It kills.
Ouch, man.
My nards.
That's smarts.
We're going to put in The Best Man, and we're going to jump into episode 7. Damn, I keep doing that. Season 7, episode 1 of Friends, The One with Monica's Thunder. Yes, as Natalie teased, we start pretty much exactly where we left off. Everyone is in the same outfits, but they don't look the same.
No.
The biggest difference to me is obviously Matthew Perry's weight, which, as we know, goes through a lot of fluctuations over this over the series, and we understand why. So I don't really want to dwell on it, but it is very clear.
It's, yeah.
But also, did you feel like... I don't know if they changed the lighting or everyone got different fake tans, but
everyone
was a little more, maybe just because they're coming back from their summer hiatus.
Yeah.
It felt like everyone was more tan.
Courtney Cox at one point like got bangs and then wanted to grow them out. But like, yeah, all of their hair was different. Jennifer Aniston's, well, I guess Rachel's hair really like took to her, and it now seems more natural, whereas before it was just it looked really fake. Okay. The extensions.
Okay.
Joey got a haircut. Ross got a haircut.
Yeah.
Phoebe pretty much looked the same, but yeah, a little bit tanner.
Yeah. It was like Full House.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're all tanner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I deserved more for that.
We saw that coming, and we didn't care for it.
They all toast with champagne, and then they decide to go celebrate the engagement by getting dressed up and going to drink champagne at the Plaza.
Yeah.
Which is quite a coincidence for us, because we had just finished watching the Sopranos season 5 episode The Test Dream, in which most of the episode is a dream sequence, but it's while Tony is asleep at the Plaza.
Yeah.
Which I think they actually shot at the Plaza.
Yeah.
For The Sopranos. Which is that, it's been a long time. Is that also where they shot Big Business?
Yes.
That's at the Plaza too, with the Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
One of the best movies.
It's not one of the best movies, but no, it is.
It's great.
It's underrated. Yeah.
One of the best.
So yeah, they're gonna go to the Plaza. Meanwhile, Joey is let's slip that he has an audition the next day to play a 19-year-old character. No one can believe it. So they're all gonna get dressed. But first, Chandler decides to seduce Monica, which he does very easily with talk of wedding stuff.
Yeah.
But it turns out he had a failure to launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full start.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Phoebe wants to perform at their wedding. Rachel's over with Joey or over in her apartment. Oh, that's right. Chandler comes over to talk to Joey about his ED or whatever. Mm-hmm. He talks to Rachel. Obviously, he doesn't talk about that, but talks to Rachel. Rachel's clearly something on her mind. She goes in the hallway, and that's where Ross is because he's coming back. He's just gotten dressed. They're saying, like, they don't want to get back together, you know, they can't think of... Or then Ross is like, we had some good times, and Rachel, like, struggles to try and think of any good times.
Yeah.
But then I guess what comes to the surface is that they were, as a couple, they were best in bed.
Mm-hmm.
They both really thought each other were good at the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel brings up the idea of a bonus night,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a couple, like, getting back together. Not back together, but physically.
Just having no strings attached.
Yeah, after having
final
broken
romp.
Up. Yeah. I've never heard of that phrase, bonus night, but the idea seems familiar. Yeah. So they're out in the hallway, and then Joey comes out of his bedroom, and he's dressed as what he thinks a 19-year-old would look like. He's, like, sagging his pants.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a cut-off basketball jersey and a beanie.
Yeah.
Beanie with a little zipper pocket on it. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the beanie had a pocket. What do you keep in there, you think?
I don't know. A key?
A key? Okay. And he's doing some really embarrassing, trying to talk like a young person.
Mm-hmm.
He says, sup? And then he says, PlayStation is whack.
Yeah. These people are not around young people, typically. Oh.
No, but I'm thinking, this is... When this episode aired, I would have been 17, I think. So, like, he's closer to my age. I don't feel like I said whack, but also I wasn't, like... I feel like I'm more likely to say whack now.
Yeah. But, like, kind of, like, tongue-in-cheek a little bit.
I guess. I say things are dope sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that one's worked its way into it.
Do you say things are bussin'?
I don't think I can get away with bussin'.
No.
No. You know what I don't say? Is I don't say that things slap, because I think it's embarrassing.
Me too.
Yeah. It slaps.
Yeah.
Bro. This lemonade slaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what was that from?
The Great Food Truck Race.
Oh, my God.
This lemonade slaps.
Yes. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
Anyway, so Chandler tells Joey what happened in the bedroom, or what didn't happen in the bedroom. And then Monica, across the hall, tells Phoebe that she's allowed to play at the wedding if she just hurries up and gets dressed, because she won't get dressed because she keeps coming with songs for the wedding. And then Monica tries to go across the hall, and she opens the door, and she sees Ross and Rachel kissing, and she's furious, because this is supposed to be her night. And they're stealing her thunder, and she thinks they're getting back together. And then Joey comes over, and he thinks they're talking. He thinks the whole gang are talking about Chandler not being able to get it up. Then they confront Joey about not being able to play 19, he can play his age, which is 31. And Joey's like, I'm not 31, I'm 30. And he's like, no, you're 31. And he's like, damn it.
Yeah.
He forgot that he was 30.
Yeah.
Then Monica decides, you know what? I'm not going to the plaza. I'm going to go in my bedroom and pout. And she specifically says at this point, I don't want to talk to any of you, and then especially you, she says to Rachel. So she's pissed at Rachel especially. So everyone sort of retreats to their own places, except Phoebe and Joey are sitting in the Monica and Chandler's living room, and Phoebe's playing songs for him. And then Joey tells her that he thinks Monica's going to back out of her deal to let her play the wedding. Rachel decides, you know what, she is going to talk to Monica. And she says, Chandler finally, like, I guess, gets a hard on and is trying to seduce, or he is seducing Monica. They're about to go at it for real. And then, first Phoebe interrupts about the wedding thing. And then Joey's like, you should just play the wedding anyway, which is funny. And then Rachel interrupts, coming from across the hall. And then Rachel and Monica get into a big fight about how at Monica's Sweet 16 party, Rachel made out with someone.
Her cousin.
Rachel's got a thing for Monica's family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Phoebe sings an angry song about how much she hates Monica and Chandler. And they're not allowed to sing at her wedding.
Yeah.
So then Rachel's like, Ross is still thinking he's going to get to score with Rachel, you know, and Rachel's clearly, it like, is not in the mood. And then Ross pretends like it's his decision, but not very convincingly. So Monica and Rachel are arguing over the place. And then Rachel's like, you know what? I am going to have sex with Ross. And Ross is like, okay. Cause he's a big dork with no self-esteem. But when they get across the hall and Ross is like, well, all right, let's do this. And, you know, and Rachel's like, we're not having sex. I just want her to think we are. But then Monica barges in.
Yeah.
Under the umbrella. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Monica barges in. Rachel admits that she's sad that she's not at the place that Monica is. But it doesn't mean she's not happy for her. So they make up. Ross just pouts and once again pretends like it's his decision to not have sex with Rachel, and is just a total fucking chump this episode.
Yeah.
What a loser. And then that's the end of the episode, except there's a tag at the end where Phoebe's sitting outside Monica and Rachel's bedroom and singing songs about how she's not going to stop singing until they let her play. So Chandler comes out and gives her $1 as a deposit. And then she says, like, sings, like, who's going to perform the ceremony? And then Chandler comes out and takes the guitar out of her hands, which is what Monica did earlier. And Phoebe said that she was going to pound on her.
Yeah.
And so when Chandler takes the guitar, she's like, I'll pound on him in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize until it's over. This is, a lot of people throw around the term bottle episode, but this is a true bottle episode.
Yeah.
No guest stars. Only on existing sets. That's it.
Yeah.
Some shows go all out for a season premiere, but they saved their money and did a cheap episode. That's the point of a bottle episode, is to save money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for them. Do you have any other stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
Yeah, we could move on to funniest moments.
Okay, at first, Monica sees Ross and Rachel, and they're almost talking her down and saying, this doesn't mean anything, you're the only one who saw it, let's pretend like nothing. But then Phoebe overhears their kiss and she goes, you guys kissed? What does this mean?
Yeah, that was in mine too.
Yeah.
When Ross and Rachel are in the hallway, Rachel's like, man, can you believe it? And Ross is like, yeah, I can, but I get married all the time.
Yeah.
I guess that's also under the umbrella.
Yeah, they never stop with those.
It's funny when he like recognizes it too and like jokes about himself.
So the second time when Chandler actually gets it up and they're about to go, the way he's seducing her is by describing their Paris honeymoon.
Yes.
You know? And then Phoebe knocks on the door and he goes, it's Paris. Who knows we're here?
But I think also funny, he's like trying to, seduce Monica, like, picture us walking at midnight on the roof, and he does his like Chandler thing of like not pronouncing things.
Yeah. So my last one is when Phoebe's breaking it to Joey that he can't play 19. she says, it's his eyes. And he says, what's wrong with my eyes? And she said, they give you away. They're too filled with wisdom.
No, she says, there's too much wisdom in there.
Too much wisdom.
Because that was on my as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Any more?
I also thought it was funny when Monica was defending her sweet 16, and she's like, we had a caricaturist.
That's right. Did you ever go to a sweet 16 birthday party? Or did you have one?
My parents paid for 5 of my friends to go to Disneyland.
Wow.
That's a big...
Yeah. I mean, more now, obviously.
Yeah.
Disneyland's too damn expensive these days.
But yeah, I think they paid for like everything.
That's great.
Food and everything.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun.
So that wasn't the birthday party with the lamb chop plates and napkins?
No, I think that was like maybe like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I still love Sherry Lewis and lamb chop, but I don't want like a whole birthday theme around it.
Especially like at 12 or 13, you're like, yeah. It's a little too, but you had been really into like lamb chop when you were like 8 or 9 and your mom just held on to that and like surprised you with like Sherry Lewis and lamb chop.
Here's, I bet you anything, she saw them on sale at like Penny's or something and just like bought like a truckload of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was pissed. I'm like, I'm not going to have this at my party.
How could you do this to me? Anyway. Should we move on to Friends with Naked Fashion?
Yeah.
I mean, no one looked good. I have one thing that I pointed out, which is a bad thing. When Chandler gets all dressed up, his tie's way too long, like Donald Trump.
Mm.
I mean, it's blue instead of red. Donald Trump wears a red tie. But you know how, like, Donald Trump wears his tie long because I think he thinks it covers his, like, gut, maybe?
Oh, God.
Ugh. I think that's why. But it just looked clownish with his super long tie, and that's what Chandler had, super long tie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Men, if you're listening, you don't know. Ideally, the point of your tie should hit your belt. Not above or below. It should hit somewhere on your belt.
It should hit the top of the belt or anywhere on the
belt? Anywhere on the belt is fine.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I thought everyone looked attractive. Like, everyone looked good. I think everyone's new look and haircut was great. Thought their tans looked great.
I was distracted by the tans.
Yeah, I thought they looked good.
Oh, okay. All right, we're flying through this episode.
I guess this is kind of like a stray observation, but I guess I never knew that like wedding talk was like Monica's kink or like Monica's foreplay.
It doesn't surprise me.
But it makes sense.
Yeah. Because she has been like waiting for this. I didn't talk about the thing in the cold open where she's standing on the balcony shouting to
screaming.
The city.
Yeah.
And then she like says that her fiance is going to beat up. Some guy tells her to shut up, and she says, come across the street to apartment 20. My fiance will beat you up.
Yeah, I thought that this would come into play later on in the episode. Like someone is going to like come at the end, like trying to like fight. But yeah, it's very much Monica to like be turned on and excited by like planning and spreadsheets and like organizing things. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
We already talked about Joey's 19-year-old outfit.
Yeah.
But
which
I thought,
apparently he was wearing Chandler's boxers, which is funny. Throwback to the one when he was ready.
Well, that's under the umbrella.
Oh, I see.
But I thought that like everyone's like formal wear looked good on them.
Okay.
You know, everyone cleaned up nicely. You don't think so? Well, you just don't like Chandler's tie?
No, I don't think anyone looked all that great, to be honest.
Okay. Friends and mothers, did people look great?
Yeah.
Or too tan?
They're too tan, and also Rachel's like sleeveless thing looked uncomfortable. It looked too tight.
Rachel's?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, like the
yeah.
Crop dress, I guess.
It was like strapless, I guess. I said sleeveless, but I meant strapless.
Yeah.
It looked like it was on too tight.
I thought it looked great.
What's under the umbrella? I have some stuff that you go first.
Under the props of the props department, we got a Three Musketeers bar for Joey.
Yeah, a real one.
Muzzle to the Magna. There's like a cartoon giant girl like stomping people. Like a giant little girl.
Wow.
Stomping people. Yeah. They take their time on this.
Speaking of Rachel's dresses, do you know about this thing where Jennifer Aniston stole a dress that Courtney Cox wore on the show and like wears it like to this day. This picture's from 2022 and she's wearing the dress that she just liked this dress that wasn't even a Rachel dress. It was a dress that Courtney Cox wore on the show.
That's very funny.
And she took it and she still wears it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. Okay, Under the Umbrella. Should I go first?
Yeah, you always go first in this.
Like gay jokes.
Specifically people thinking Chandler is gay.
People thinking Chandler's gay.
Because Tom Selleck did, and this time Phoebe said she did it first, but it's not the first time. A lot of people have.
Yeah. And then thinking that Monica was screaming, I'm gay, instead of I'm engaged.
Oh,
Ross,
right.
Ross heard her from below, from the street.
Yeah.
And thought it was someone screaming, I'm gay.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, discussion of formerly fat Monica.
Right.
Of course. Joey's eating a sandwich.
That's true.
A big sandwich.
Yeah. When his eyes are filled with, or there's too much wisdom in there.
People not being ready and it like pissing someone off and causing.
Yeah.
And that's also another bottle episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Oh, you mentioned before, kind of like, if you think your brother's having sex in a bedroom, but maybe she knows him so well that she knew that those weren't sex sounds.
Maybe.
She knows him so well that, like...
But they're just way too involved in each other's sex lives.
Too familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other thing that, like, I thought it was kind of funny and maybe a little sweet, that did you notice that in Monica and Chandler's bedroom, there's a... New York Knicks trash can.
Oh, okay. So Chandler got to bring it?
Yeah, but like it's nice that Monica let him have his.
She's like, I'll let you have the trash can, I guess.
Yeah. Because here's what I'm imagining this whole story, which is like, oh, man. Okay, we're a year. This is aired in September of 2000, so we're a year from 9/11, which I shouldn't, obviously. Nothing funny about 9/11. But I don't know if... Have I ever shown you that post? That like Reddit post of someone like... very earnestly imagining like how the each member of the cast, like how the characters would have reacted to 9/11.
Oh no,
it's so darkly funny. But anyway, so that's what I'm doing here, is I'm imagining a whole scenario.
Okay,
so I'm imagining that Chandler gets the Knicks trash can and she hates it, right? But it's one of those trash cans that has a little backboard and stuff on it, and she's very competitive. So I'll bet he challenges her to a game. And that's how she gets into it. And then he like maybe wins, and that's the thing. But
anyway, she's always up for a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, she's very, very, very competitive.
Yeah.
Which is not that anyone cares, but not a turn on for me.
What?
When a person's competitive.
It's too bad, because I kind of am.
No, you're not. I've never sensed that in you.
Oh, I secretly am very competitive. Maybe I hide it well.
About what?
Like games or...
You never seem like when we play...
Because I always win.
That's not true. And when I do, like if we're playing like Gin Rummy and I win a few games in a row, you don't get like angry.
Oh, I'm pissed.
But you don't show it.
I'm hopping mad on the inside.
Yeah. You show it.
Yeah.
Or you don't show it. We had some people over. I'm not going to name any names. We had some people over. We were playing Crokinole. And one of our friends, she, like, is too competitive and, like...
Didn't want to play anymore?
She, like, excused herself. But then, like, because we have, like, a townhouse that's, like, split level. So we're down in the living room. So then she stood in the kitchen and watched the game from above and still kept commenting on it. Even though she was too competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... That sort of thing, I don't know. I don't, like... I don't like when people are like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't either.
Should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back, and we're ready to talk about Season 7, Episode 1 of How I Met Your Mother, The Best Man. Natalie, take it away.
Okay. So, we're reminded that a big theme of the show is timing. He's talking to his kids, and we're back at Barney's wedding. And right. Barney...
Flash forward from the end of Season 6.
The flash forward. So, we're picking up exactly where we started, or ended. Picking up where we ended.
Yeah, and well... As much as you can in a show like How I Met Your Mother that jumps around chronologically, yeah.
So Barney's having the jitters, and he's, you know, it's kind of manifesting in his, like, anxiety over what tie to wear. But it's other jitters that he's having about his wedding. And then they're talking about the toast, and... they're reminded of Punchy's wedding, which Marshall ruined, and we don't know why yet, but Marshall ruined Punchy's wedding, and Ted was giving the toast there, and Punchy is like an old school friend from Cleveland. Oh,
yeah. Played by Chris Romano. We've seen him multiple times. Yes. This is the first time Punchy has shown up in an episode that wasn't also a Up in Sparkles episode, which is just a weird coincidence. But it's such a weird, like... sitcom conceit that, like, Ted's the only one who's friends with Punchy, but all his all other friends go friends all the go way to the Cleveland wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't even know the bride. Some girl named Kelly. But then we're so Ted has, like, lots
of we've met Kelly before, remember?
Oh yeah, she's into, like, his weird
the wounded bird trick.
The weirded, yeah.
Which is
she's into it, yeah. She loves it. Yeah. It really did. Is that where you're gonna sit, Carla?
Okay.
So Ted is trying to plan the toast, and he's stressed out about it. And we learn that he's had, like, meltdowns on every, like, toast that he's given. And we get flashbacks of 2008, 2009, 2010. And it just coincides with, you know, just, like, terrible events in his life. Like, being left at the altar, or being depressed, or being fired, losing his job. So he always has a meltdown. He always cries. Everyone loves it. Punchy put it online, made, like, a website. And is it, like... in Finland?
Yeah, for some reason it's really taken off in Finland. There's a lot of Finnish. Because you see all the comments are in Finnish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Juhani, please, tell us what those comments say. I don't know if you're watching the episode, but watch the episode. Please, Juhani, and tell us what
let
the comments say.
Let us know the comments. Yeah, screenshot it and then let us know. And then, yeah, a lot of, like, Finns are at the wedding, or at Punchy's wedding. They have a whole table. So they're at McLaren's, and they're trying to, like, amp up Ted for, you know, giving the toast, like, oh, you can handle it. You don't need this big, huge binder, you know, just, like, speak from the heart and be yourself. You could pull it together. There's nothing, like, bad going on. In fact, you just got the front page of New York Magazine as, like, a wunderkind architect, like, the first architect to demolish... whatever, you know, like...
The youngest head architect to design a building in Manhattan?
And we get a flashback of the demolition.
Yeah.
And then they're talking... they were saying, like, that Barney never called Nora, or assuming Barney never called Nora. Robin is very interested in knowing whether or not Barney called Nora, because she was talking him into it, kind of. But he apparently chickened out. Lily and Marshall, meanwhile, so they found out that Lily's pregnant, and Marshall wants to tell everyone. He's very, very excited, but Lily said, no, I don't want to jinx it. Let's wait 3 months before we tell anyone. And Marshall really is excited and thinks nothing's going to go wrong, but Lily's... And that's, like, a typical thing that, you know, a lot of people do for good reason. You know, it's up to them. But anytime she orders like a non-alcoholic beer, everyone knows. So is it Max the bartender?
Carl
the bartender. She orders like four beers and a non-alcoholic, and he's like, "Oh, you're pregnant," and like no one else hears.
Thank God. Yeah.
But it also happens. Well, yeah, it'll happen later as well. So they are at the wedding in Cleveland, at Punchy's wedding. The whole gang is invited. The wedding is like the Cleveland Browns theme.
Yeah, it's a Browns themed wedding.
It's a football wedding, and even like the outfits are like orange and brown.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
It honestly doesn't seem that far-fetched. I'll bet there have been.
That's outrageous.
Did you ever hear the, I think it was on like This American Life or something, about the like dad who bought a Chicago Bears wedding dress for his daughter?
No.
She had to be like, "I'm not getting married in that." But then they did turn it into a fun thing where she like wore it for part of the reception as like a fun thing.
Yeah, I didn't come from a sports family, so this idea is just absurd to me.
Yeah.
But you did. You came from a sports family.
I mean, I came from St. Louis, which, as everyone knows, is a drinking town with a baseball problem.
Right.
So, yeah.
Babies are born with, like, they have to wear onesies that have, like, their parents'
logo.
Sports Absolutely. Teams on them.
Yeah.
And that's just something that people do.
It's very normal.
But what if you don't like sports at all or don't care about, like, you...
You grew out of that, then.
Yeah.
I grew out of it and I came back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little groomy.
Oh, come on. It's just sports.
Okay. Well, so Marshall ends up drinking all of... So Lily's trying to hide...
Chicago Bears wedding dress.
Yeah. Friends and mothers, if you've ever been to a sports-themed wedding, let us know.
I mean, my sister's wedding wasn't sports-themed, but
the
reception was at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool wedding. Okay, so Lily is trying to hide the pregnancy, and she says, like, "Marshall, you're going to have to, like, drink for me." So, like, when she has a shot, like, she hands it to Marshall. Marshall drinks it, and then she pretends she took it down. Barney is, like, trying out his material in Cleveland.
Yeah. So I found a photo of an actual Cleveland Browns-themed wedding.
Oh, my gosh. Those dresses. My goodness. Wow. Well, God bless Kareen and Marshall. Michael.
Yeah,
Green
Michael.
So Barney's trying out new material, but it's just like awful. So he's like purposefully like trying to
tank?
Yeah, he's trying to tank. Robin says, like, "I wish Barney was my boyfriend again," but Lily clocks it as Robin's truth voice, and then we get like reminders of her truth voice, and some of them are like pretty heartbreaking, like when she's talking about her dad and like how he didn't love her enough, like
Well, her dad like sent her a pen for her birthday, and she does the sarcastic voice like, "All I want for my birthday is for him to tell him how many he loves me."
But her truth voice is like, "Oh, I would," and like but Lily is able to know, like, "I know what that means." So Lily knows that Robin still has feelings for Barney, and Barney's like, one of his come-ons is like, "Look at my fingernails," and they're like long fingernails. Another one where he's like pretending to be sick. And, like,
this is pre-COVID, but he's patient zero.
Yeah.
And he's like downing pills like it's a shot or whatever. But he's doing the Guinness Book of World Records like long fingernail thing, which is a real thing and is very gross.
It's upsetting. Marshall at this point is like completely wasted, and because he's drinking all of Lily's drinks.
Yeah.
And then we think that the reason why he's ruining the wedding is like he stumbles and it looks like he's going to walk into the cake. He doesn't. At another point, he like throws a little football and it looks like it's about to hit the bride. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So we'll get more of that later. Punchy is rooting for Ted to melt down during his speech. And Ted is like, "I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give a good speech." Let's see. Okay, so Lily sees that. The priest caught the fly ball.
You took one of my funniest moments.
Oh, sorry.
I'll still say it again.
So Lily kind of notices that Barney's like he's like striking out because like Robin, and he mm-hmm. still has feelings for Robin. And then let's see. Ted is talking about how like he's more successful than anyone here. Like they haven't done anything. And then Clay still works at the rental car company, but he has a beautiful baby girl. And, you know, Marshall is like cooing over this baby and loves this baby. He's excited about his own. Ted is like trying to redeem himself by shoving the magazine cover in people's faces. The baby barfs on the magazine. Robin says like, no, we don't, like, I'm not into Barney. We have no chemistry. And she's like, prove it. And then Groove Is in the Heart by D-Light comes on.
The coolest thing ever happens.
The coolest thing ever happens, where they have the most incredible dance sequence. I love it so much. Yeah. I love this song. I love the dance sequence. Yeah. I loved everything about this.
And I love that they like, they obviously choreographed the whole thing. And then it's not just, because this is a three camera show, but they did some like camera work
with
the above but also below. Like when they sit on the chair for a second, they go 3, 2, 1 I can't do that, but but Barney and Robin do it. It's so great.
If you're ever in a bad mood, friends and mothers, just listen to that song, and I guarantee dance with yourself and you'll be in a better mood. I do it all the time. Let's see. Okay, and then they have this like incredible chemistry. It's palpable. And then Barney gets a phone call, and it's Nora. Turns out he tried calling her 5 times and she didn't answer. And then Robin agrees to help him because he's like, I don't know what to say. And then she's kind of like a Cyrano de Bergerac, and she's saying everything that she feels about Barney.
Yeah.
And he's saying it to Nora. And it ultimately ends with like, do you think there'll ever be a chance for us again?
Yeah. And Barney, because she's standing behind Barney, so Barney can't see her face, but we can, and it's very heartbreaking.
It's very heartbreaking.
And very good work by Colby Smulders there.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, Nora is like, yeah, we could give it a chance again. Ted and Robin are now kind of, like, sad together, and they're kind of, like, they're on the patio, and they're having a cigar together.
Smoking sad cigars.
Yeah, smoking sad cigars. Ted kind of feels like a failure. And not because of the, speech, or because of, like, his successes are different than the folks in Cleveland, but because he stopped believing in love and destiny and all those things that made him who he was.
Yeah.
And Robin tells him that, he still believes in destiny. It's just timing and chemistry. You have to have timing and chemistry. And she's actually talking about her and Barney.
Sure.
They have the chemistry, but the timing is off. And let's see, timing is a bitch. And then they talk about their 40 year deal again, kind of like
the friends did.
And then he's like, well, at least this time I'm not going to cry during the toast. I feel kind of better. And that's when Lily and Marshall come outside, and like they're both looking at babies and loving babies together, and they can't keep it a secret any longer, and they say, we're having a baby. And then it's time for Smosby's toast, and he's like crying because he's happy. And everyone's like, you know, laughing at Ted crying, and then Marshall takes over and he's drunk, and he announces that she's pregnant, talking about Lily, but he kind of points in the direction of the bride, and the bride is pregnant, and she's like, I didn't want to tell anyone, how would you know? And that's what ruins the wedding. And then the dads of the bride and the groom are fighting, and that's how we ruined it. And then they're back at Barney's wedding. There's a mention of a ducky tie. At least you didn't go with the ducky tie. We'll get to that story later. This is just the beginning. And he's going to be a good best man.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. I mean, I could just talk about the dance sequence. It's so great.
Yeah. Spoiler, like, that's why this is my favorite episode.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have for funniest moments?
Kelly's dad hates my guts. You see Kelly's dad, like, hating Punchy.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Ross and Bruce Willis, like, giving dirty looks behind mm-hmm. each other's backs. Okay, you already mentioned it, I'm just going to say it again, when you think that Marshall's going to ruin the wedding by beating Kelly in the nose with a football, but then she, like, bends down at the exact last second, and the priest, like, he was waiting for it.
Yeah.
Just, like, catches it, turns, throws it to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing just a game of catch at the reception.
Yeah. This whole, like, wedding party, they're all sportos.
Yeah. As soon as the priest saw Marshall pick up the football, he was like,
ready. I'm open. I'm open. When Lily's talking to Robin, like, Robin doesn't, like, I don't remember what she's talking about, but Lily says, now that I'm pregnant with this idea in my mind's uterus... And Robin, I think, might be, like, having a few, so she doesn't even catch it.
Yeah. You might have said this. When Marshall is telling Lily about all the cute babies, and he's holding one, and he says, look at this little bastard.
Yeah, that was in mine, too.
Okay. I only have one more.
I don't have any more.
Okay, So Ted doesn't know until he gets to the reception that everyone is there hoping that he bombs the toast. That's Punchy's whole thing.
Yeah.
And he invited to the YouTube Finns or whatever. And so when Ted and Robin are out on the balcony, you hear like the wedding DJ or whatever say, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the reason we're all here tonight. Schmoesby's toast.
Yeah. But also, did you notice the, do you know Luca Jones?
No.
He was in the wedding party. It's this guy. I know him from Shrill, but he's an actor and comedian. But when Ted and Robin are out on the balcony, he's like, 2 minutes till speech, Schmoesby. But he's at all the weddings. Like when they do flashbacks of all the wedding toasts.
Oh, really?
He's in the background.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's the same friends group.
It's the same crew. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why Punchy's at all of them.
Yeah.
How I meant your mother would make it fashion.
Okay, I think Robin looks great in her purple leopard. Normally, if you say like purple leopard dress, I would be afraid, but she looks great.
It was a nice silhouette.
Yeah.
Right? What do you call that kind of neckline? I feel like there's a name for it that I'm. It's like a bodice top? No.
Kind of. It's kind just of like a square.
Top? Yeah.
Sweetheart necklace?
Maybe sweetheart. Neckline. Yeah. It's a good silhouette.
No, I thought she looked great.
Okay.
I like the shoes. I like her haircut.
Okay, and then as far as what's...
Did you like her haircut?
I don't remember.
It's like shoulder length.
I don't think I notice haircuts as much as you do.
Yeah, I really do notice.
Yeah, that's good. I should. All right. As far as what's under the umbrella, you mentioned the ducky tie. You're not going to have to wait long to find out what the ducky tie is.
Okay.
Also, when Marshall first agrees, like, he's going to drink for two, but he says something about, like, I should eat something, that's a reference to his and Lily's wedding, right? When she hadn't had anything to eat and gets trashed.
Right.
And the only thing she can find to eat are the strawberries that are at the bottom of the champagne glasses. So she has to drink more champagne to get the strawberries.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So, that's it. That's anything else under the umbrella that you have?
Yes. Okay. Barney says something about no fatties, and then he's like, well, in Cleveland, they're all like something rude about the Midwest and, you know, some fat shaming, which you can't get an episode without that.
Nope.
He talks about his legendary success rate of 83%, and he thinks it's going to be like much higher in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which it's not. And then Lily says, "The son of a bitch."
Oh, that's right.
Has knee dimples.
Son of a bitch has knee dimples. You know what? I started to write that too, and I forgot. I got distracted by something, and I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. The son of a bitch has knee dimples.
Yeah.
Similarities? What do you have?
Well, this is more... Okay, so you like when I distinguish, like, general...
Yeah, I like when you do the general
themes.
Like, general themes. Like, but I wanted to distinguish between, like, similarities between these two episodes or just general similarities. I just wanted to distinguish.
Okay, so general similarities, sticky magazines. also general dance routines. So Monica and Ross's routine.
Yeah.
And then Robin and Barney's routine.
Except Robin and Barney's was actually great.
Yeah. Well, I guess, okay, then more specifically, wedding planning.
Mm-hmm.
This was a lot of wedding planning. Everyone has haircuts. Patio balcony.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I forgot. So
everyone has haircuts. I forgot. Yeah, because it's a new season.
In general, the 40 deal as like a backup plan.
Right, yeah.
And then the idea of getting back together, like rekindling.
Yes, that was one I thought of.
Attraction.
The main one I thought of was. Both episodes feature someone being sad about someone else's wedding or, you know.
Yes.
You know, Rachel's sad about Monica and Chandler's engagement, and Ted's sad about his friends all being married with kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's play favorites. We both already gave it away, so.
3, 2, 1, How I Met Your Mother.
Delight.
Delight.
Grooves in the Heart. Yeah. This episode was a delight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what put it over the top, but I honestly think I would have liked this episode more anyway. I didn't think the Friends episode was that great.
Yeah.
You know, the conflict I thought was too contrived.
Yeah.
What do you call it when you can't get a hard-on? There's a name for it.
Erectile dysfunction?
Yeah, but there's like a... impotency? Is that what it's called?
Impotence?
Or is that when you are shooting blanks?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that felt, I don't know, it felt like a cheap joke.
But they've used it before. Like, it is a big deal, and it doesn't happen to everyone. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why. Let's catch up on our correspondence.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm going to start with an email from Jackson, and then we'll dive in to... was it Andy who is catching us up on
all the correspondence?
All the correspondence from the past. But first, Jackson says about Mystery Diners.
Ooh.
Sorry to hear Discovery took down the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Zaslav strikes again.
Yeah.
And then they say, my old classmate did not work for the restaurant. He auditioned to be one of the Mystery Diners. Hold on. But the producers thought he'd be better as the villain. So he ended up playing the so-called restaurant employee.
We need to get this episode.
I know. And he also appeared on an episode of Bar Rescue as a mixologist, which he also auditioned for. So all this shit is all fake.
Yeah.
And then Jackson says, hangover food. That was one of our prompts. Back in Nashville, there was this place called Jackson's. No relation. Where they had a dish called the Tasty. It was a cheeseburger omelet with fries folded into it. It was the only food I ever ordered at that restaurant. Cheeseburger omelet with fries folded in.
So the fries would be like mushed into it.
Unless they're like really like double fry. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds like... sounds like it should be more of a Pittsburgh thing than a Nashville thing, because Pittsburgh, they can't stop put. They put fries on sandwiches, they put fries on salads.
Yeah.
You can't stop putting fries on things in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You put fries on a cake, and it's a Pittsburgh cake.
Yeah, but I guess if... I guess if you... Yeah. If you're hungover, that might be appealing.
Yeah. All right, let's... I thought I had something else to say about that, but... Okay, oh, yeah, and there's even more from Andy since the last time I checked. Okay, so we have a lot. We have a lot.
All right, let's get into it. Wow. Wow.
Okay, that's it. Here's where we start. Post-Gen Z is Gen Alpha. We know that. We must not have known that at some point.
Okay.
Cosmic Crisp is the best apple strain. Also very new, look it up. I do like Cosmic Crisp, but...
You like Honey Crisp more?
And also, Cosmic Crisp tends to be more expensive than Honey Crisp, and it's not... better enough than Honeycrisp to be worth it. Honeycrisp is more reliable.
I feel like sometimes Honeycrisps are too big.
That's lately they are.
Yeah. But maybe just because they're in season right now.
Yeah, maybe. Andy says we absolutely killed it. I remember that one. We just said, did we kill it? That was it. I'm a professor and I don't understand any plot line with a professor hooking up with students.
Yeah.
They all look like absolute and utter children to me, a 33-year-old man.
Yes.
Pay attention to see if it's ever discussed what kind of professor Ted is. My guess is he's a clinical professor or professor of practice. No way he has research responsibilities. Mm. Makes sense?
Makes sense.
NPH was not squeezing the bunny. I don't know. I don't remember. No idea.
Okay. In like a magic trick.
Yeah, maybe.
Capacity.
How does the podcast feel about other working animals, like sheepdogs or seeing eye dogs, and if it's different than acting animals, and why?
So I feel bad for canine cops, because I don't like cops.
Yeah.
And I feel like dogs are wonderful angels. So I feel like making them... Turning them into narcs.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them. And I worry that they don't get to just like have a fun time.
But what relax. About like bomb sniffing dogs?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's a... They have a good sense of smell, and I think they enjoy...
Yeah.
Dogs do enjoy making people happy, which is weird. So
yeah. And sheepdogs, I think they enjoy, like, herding.
Yeah.
That's, like, a fun... They get to run around in a field and chase things. Like, that's ideal.
But what about seeing eye dogs?
I think you're right about it. It's, like, purposeful and probably rewarding.
Yeah. I'm just sad I can't pet them.
I'm sad I can't pet them. I want to pet them. Yeah. And they probably want to be pet, too. It's tricky. It's tricky. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Natalie's talk about slot machines getting hot is truly hurting me. Lurking is not lucrative. It's statistics. So slot machines don't get hot.
I'm not alone in this theory.
Okay. I'm torn on this one. He says, Flagpole Sitta is a great song. I agree.
Okay.
But then he says, with a great title. Why do you hate the title? Asking seriously. It's the Sitta part. Instead of flagpole sitter, flagpole sitta is embarrassing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Flagpole sitter. Just call it flagpole sitter. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, and it's like writing in dialect, I feel like, is only works with certain dialects.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe I'm stretching here, but flagpole sitter, like... Flagpole said, those are white guys. And I feel like rappers do a lot of like writing in dialect with their, you know, and that's why I always feel awkward talking about like.
So when white people do it, it's a little like.
I mean,
forced or cringe.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes if they do like ol instead of old, ol, whatever, that makes sense. But flagpole sitta.
Or when they drop the G.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everyone drops the G.
Everyone drops the G, yeah. But like. If I'm talking, I always feel embarrassed as a white guy if I'm talking about a rapper like Royce da 5'9". Like, it's embarrassing. I don't talk like that.
Yeah.
And he says, got back from visiting Japan recently and the Sony Walkman brand is alive and well. Best plant-based eatery is the Fiction Kitchen in Raleigh.
Oh.
Didn't we have a friend who was almost about to move to Raleigh?
Yeah, now I hope they do, so we can go to
the Fiction Kitchen. Best holiday episodes are pretty much any Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween, which
yes,
we like,
yes.
Or Community Christmas. I don't know Community. But we talked about this. We must have talked about Roseanne Halloween episodes.
Yes,
those are the best, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This is a long one. You'll laugh at this because you acknowledge you sound like a boomer. This is for me specifically. You sound like a boomer when this subject comes up, but whenever you talk about video games, you sound exactly like people who thought TV was a lesser form of art than film, arguably still is, or that comic books are lesser than big wordy tomes. There's a ton of stories and experiences that can only be had because of the interactivity that video games offer. It's always interesting to hear you talk about feeling that video games are for kids and knowing that they're absolutely ones you'd love from a conceptual artsy-fartsy higher-minded level. And that there's probably some medium that I too feel is for kids and not adults. Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
I agree.
I'm sure there are video games if I gave the time, but I don't care enough.
Yeah.
The rabbit or duck episode of How I Met Your Mother altered my weekly beer buy. And he sent us a picture of the duck rabbit milk stout, which has the, like, is it a rabbit or is it a duck?
Do you see a rabbit or a duck?
Yeah.
I see both.
Yeah.
I can do the thing if I blink
and
choose to see one. And then.
And now what color is that dress? I've
Laurel?
Definitely had...
Wait, what is the other one?
What?
Laurel or...
Yanny.
Yanny.
I've definitely had friends, very old friends, I've hung out with one-on-one. I don't know if that feels like there's something left out of that. Also, ever since you mentioned... Oh, this is interesting. Ever since you mentioned Joey and Joey's Purina pointed a bag today, your podcast has given me a few Purina ads. Coincidence?
Weird.
I don't know. Unagi is always cooked, not raw. I didn't know that. Hangover cure. Oh, we got one from Jackson and one from Andy. Two Benadryl or NyQuil. It doesn't help the hangover, but it certainly puts you back to sleep. Mm. I think that's a joke one. He says, I'm 33 years old, which we know. You said it earlier. His first regular drinks were Smirnoff Ice and a caffeinated Alka-Pop called Sparks. Oh, my God.
Oh, used to love me some Sparks.
In my 20s, Sparks was my, like, pregame before going to a party, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little buzz on, but I'm going to get hyped up. So I'm going to drink a tall boy of Sparks before I head into the party.
I would always do the blue one that was sugar-free. But I brought it to comedy shows. And, yeah, I love those things.
Sparks, yeah. I've been to Japan. Sushi there is as good as sushi here. You only need the right chef and quality. Sushi rice really matters. Sushi rice is a big deal to me. I think that's why I've never liked any kind of like grocery store sushi, you know, like pre-made grocery store sushi. Mm-hmm. The rice is never good. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just went to sushi, arguably my favorite restaurant in Los Angeles. It's vegan. It's all vegan.
Yeah.
Like macrobiotic. It's delicious.
It's delicious, yeah. It's called Shojin. At the time of this recording, they have two locations, but the reason we went is because their original location in Little Tokyo is closing, and they're just going to be in Culver City only. So we wanted to go to the downtown one before it closed.
Yeah.
Because we've been going there since, like, early day. It was, like...
It was, like, my earliest, birthday like, choices every year.
And then finally... just earlier today, Jackson said, you do feed Natalie clues and go out of your way to deny yourself points. But as you said, you don't make the rules.
That was Andy, not Jackson.
Oh, I mean, Andy. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I said Jackson earlier.
Yes.
I give you clues. That's fine. I don't care.
That's true.
Anything else to say?
No, but I think the clues are warranted just because the naming structure is so much more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you disagree, that's okay.
I don't disagree. I'm fine. I'm the one giving you the clues. I don't care. But we'll get to start fresh on the challenge accepted. But not late. Not yet. First, we have to do my favorite segment to introduce, which is called How Were We Doing?
Okay.
This is where we look at what was happening in the world in the days these episodes aired. So, Season 7, Episode 1 of Friends, the one with Monica's Thunder, aired on Thursday, October 12th, 2000. I normally do try to avoid the, like... bummer ones, you know, like the world is a bad place ones, but this was a big deal. This was the day of the suicide bomber attack against the USS Cole in Yemen, which was an Al-Qaeda attack almost a full year before 9/11. It was the first time I had ever heard of Al-Qaeda, I think, was when this happened. Yeah, that happened on that day. Rest in peace to the 17 seamen who U.S. seamen who were killed in that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in more positive news, Kate Winslet gave birth.
Oh,
yeah,
that was tough.
Mia or Maya? I'm not sure. It's her daughter's name. She has two more kids, at least, maybe more. I don't care. And top five songs in the U.S. This should be fun. I always love to start a new season because it'll be like all new songs, you know, I hope. Okay, number five, I'm not singing this one, Creed with Arms Wide Open.
With Arms Wide Open.
Yeah. Yeah, and then another, oh man, we are in butt rock territory here because, Three Doors Down, Kryptonite.
If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman?
Yeah, I don't like these songs. The only one I like, How You Remind Me by Nickelback, I do think is a fun song. I would sing that.
That is fun.
I would sing along to that. And also, if you've never seen it, go to YouTube. If you know who the rapper Sada Baby is, Sada Baby, there's like a 1-minute clip of him and someone else singing along to Sada Baby, or singing along to How You Remind Me in a nightclub, and it is like, if I need a quick pick-me-up, I watch Sada Baby singing How You Remind Me, and it's always so great.
That's a good karaoke song.
Oh, yeah.
We just did karaoke in Little Tokyo.
Yeah. The same night as the sushi. Yeah, I didn't do... I'll keep How You Remind Me in my pocket.
That's a good one.
For the future, yeah. Number three, 98 Degrees, Give Me Just One Night.
Nope.
And number two, Madonna, Music. How did that one go?
Music makes the people come together.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And then Christina Aguilera, Come On Over, Baby.
Come on over.
Come on over, baby. Oh, yeah, I like that song.
Yeah.
Okay. So some good stuff, some bad stuff, and a 98 Degrees song that I don't remember. But I'm going to guess it's probably not good. I don't think I like any 98 Degrees songs. Season 7, Episode 1 of How I Met Your Mother, The Best Man, aired on Monday, September 19th, 2011. So obviously the most important thing that happened on this day is that I turned 29.
Yeah. What do you remember what we did on your 29th birthday?
No, I remember we did my 30th because we went to Chicago.
What year would that have been?
2011.
Oh, duh. Okay.
Are you looking at, like, pictures?
I don't think I have that far back.
Yeah, I don't think so either. As far as what happened on that day, I know I looked up something, but I was so distracted by it being my birthday that I forgot. Oh, yeah, so do you know what the Polaris Music Prize is?
No, I don't.
It's Canadian. It's an annual prize given out to the best Canadian album of the year or whatever. And the Polaris Music Prize went to Arcade Fire for The Suburbs, which is, I guess, kind of a precursor to their Grammy Best Album win. They won Best Album, the Grammys, and Rosie O'Donnell famously, to me at least, tweeted that she'd never even heard of the band or the album. And I was like, that's a self-own. Like,
yeah.
Don't come on here and... Like, people love to come on Twitter and brag about their ignorance.
I have an answer, though, for you.
What we did for my 29th birthday?
Yeah, we were in New Orleans.
That's right! Oh my God! And I got money pinned to me.
You got money pinned to you. We saw some gators.
Oh my God, I was probably very hungover in that picture. But yeah, that's a thing in New Orleans. You go out and like someone like pins a dollar to you.
Yep.
And you go out and then like all through the night, people, if they see it's your birthday, they'll come up and they'll pin a dollar to you.
I think it was also Glory's birthday.
Glory's is the 18th.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think we did like... Well, we were probably out all night, so I think we probably did like a joint celebration. Yeah. Like at midnight, we were like, okay, Glory, your time's...
Yeah.
Quit hogging the glory.
Yeah.
Glory. now it's my birthday.
Yeah.
But this also is a reminder, people who share my birthday, obviously not, these people weren't born in 2011. Jimmy Fallon, whatever. Jeremy Irons, Sanaa Lathan, Fred Willard, the great Fred Willard. Mm. Francis Farmer, Cass Elliot, Mama Cass.
Ooh.
That's the main ones. So that's that top five songs in the U.S. on this day. I'm looking forward to this. Okay. Wow. I said I was looking forward to it, but there's some shit on here. Mm. Well, it starts with one that not only do I not know the song, I've never heard of the song or this band. Mm. The band is called Bad Meets Evil, and it's Lighters.
Oh. I feel like I know that song.
Hold on. Is Bad Meets Evil like a supergroup?
Oh, with Bruno Mars.
No. Oh my God. What a crazy coincidence. Nelly.
Oh, it's Eminem.
Eminem and who?
Bruno Mars.
No. Eminem and Royce da 5'9". The guy I just mentioned.
We were just... Wow.
What a crazy coincidence that I just mentioned Royce da 5'9". How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it sounds next. Terrible. This sounds like a terrible song. Right?
I just realized we went to New Orleans and... September 2011.
Yeah.
And then we went again for Mardi Gras 2012.
Yeah. We went 5 months.
4 months after. Yeah. We're party animals.
Yeah. Okay. So at number four. So yeah, that confirmed The Lighters by Bad Meets Evil is a bad song. Based on that little clip I just heard, it was mm-hmm. terrible. Mm-hmm. Another bad song at number four, Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO. Mm-hmm. At number three, a song I absolutely despise, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
Oh, yeah. That's bad.
At number two, Never Mind, I'll Find Someone Like You.
I wish nothing but the best. For you.
I wish we could just sing the whole song because it'll keep me from getting to number one. Another song that I fucking despise. Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5.
Ugh. Yeah.
I don't like any Maroon 5 songs, but that has to be the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Alright. I'm done being negative for now. Let's get back into our final segment, which is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on these shows, armed only with knowledge of the episode title. Obviously, we didn't do one last week. Or no, we did one last week because it was for this week. Okay. Where is it? So,
Season 7, Episode 2 of Friends.
Well, no, first we had to look at how we did these predictions. I predicted the one with Monica's Thunder. I was way off. I did not predict that it would like pick up the same night. I predicted that it would be over the summer, and over the summer Phoebe would have a whirlwind romance and a quickie engagement.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
You said Marshall and Ted compete for the title of Barney's best man. Mm. Nope.
Also wrong. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Ted got it pretty handily. So I'm gonna look up what episode 2 of season 7 is called for each one, but I'm gonna need you to vamp.
Oh. Sweet and salty umami crunchies. Sweetened green mango. Papadums.
Okay. Season 7, episode 2 of Friends is called The One with Rachel's Book. The One with Rachel's Book. Okay, I'm going to say, let me get a head start here. Okay. It's okay to have some silence in here.
Shishito peppers. Jumbo mix bouquet. Grapefruit.
I'm going to say sexually frustrated Rachel has recently been whacking it to a bodice ripper. A romance novel.
Yep. Darla, please stop it. Please stop.
Which is discovered by the friends. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I don't think I have to... I specified Rachel. I don't think I also have to specify which
friend discovers it.
Yeah, I think we only have to... I think that was the rule we said. We can't be all general, as long as you specify one thing. Okay. Season 7, Episode 2 of How I Met Your Mother is called Not the Naked Man. It's The Naked Truth.
The Naked Truth. Okay, I feel like you kind of spoiled it. Andy probably clocked it. That we learn about the tie, about the ducky tie. And I think at some point, Barney will be naked besides the tie.
Okay. Barney.
I don't have to say what the truth is about. I'll just say that.
Barney pairs a ducky tie.
With a birthday suit.
With his birthday suit. Yeah. You saw what I was calling.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm not funny or is it because you and I think alike?
I think it's because it's an obvious take.
Damn. Like, so the thing with the Tanners and the Full House thing earlier that was obvious?
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't think it was that obvious.
It's still good. It's still good, though.
Friends and Mothers was the Full House joke obvious. Okay. So, yeah, those are our predictions. You can find us We've already proven to yourself and to the world at large that you know how to find this podcast. I mean, you should be proud of yourself for that. Yeah. But you can also find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com. That's also where you can find my other podcast, Battleship Pretension. That's about movies. You can follow, you can email us. That would be the preferred way. That's what Jackson did this week. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. And Natalie, where do you want people to try and find you on the internet?
Well, I don't, but if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, give us 5 stars or tell us why we don't deserve that many. Let us know your drunk foods, hangover foods, early alcohol experimentation.
Sure.
Do these people look better tanned with their new haircuts?
Did they look good in their like evening wear to go to the plaza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did we?
Was my Full House joke obvious, or mm-hmm. you know, did you see it coming or not? And then from last week, still want to know, do you ever make a backup marriage pact with a
yeah,
friend?
Yeah, yeah. And have you ever been to a sports-themed wedding?
Yeah, that's a good one. Have you ever been to any kind of themed wedding? Yeah.
No, bat mitzvahs, lots of them.
Yeah, those are supposed to have themes. Though,
but
right?
Themed weddings, no.
No.
It's just love, right?
Yeah, that's the theme. The theme is love. My parents went to... My dad had a very good friend whose name was Bones, and I'm not saying his nickname was Bones. His name had been Jeff. His nickname was Bones, and he had it legally changed
to Bones.
To Bones,
I love it.
And he was so nice, and helped our family set up our first computer. He was like into computers, but he was also like a Harley guy.
Yeah,
and rode motorcycles all the time. It was like his motorcycle buddies that named him Bones. And I did not get to go to his wedding. My parents did, but it was a Harley Davidson themed wedding where the bride like came down the aisle on a Harley Davidson.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
All right. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, again, let us know all of those things and more.
Yeah.
We love corresponding.
Yeah.
With y'all.
Yeah.
Until next time, we'll be on a midnight walk on the room. Blah, 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 blah.